I'll be reading from John 12. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and he spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me."
Good morning. I remember playing high school baseball. You had an indicator, you know, you had all these signs, and only the sign after the indicator mattered. Well, we messed up our signs this morning. It was a wonderful reading from God's Word, but it's not the text for this morning's lesson. But as Paul Gray Cooper used to say, just read some, it's all good. So, you know, of all the things that you remember, that has left an indelible impression. It's a little bit of a joke among us, but it's true. Just read it. It's all good. We're going to talk this morning. We're going to springboard this morning as we continue really our discussion about trust from the woman, the widow who gave the two mites. Remember that? The widow's mites. You may be more familiar with the story that way. You may not be familiar with that story at all. But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And Steve, and I appreciate very much Steve coordinating the song service with the lesson this morning, when he asked me what the lesson was going to be, and I told him, the immediate response was it on giving? Well, this morning's lesson is not on giving, because very often we have this discussion on a lesson on giving, but it is a continuation of our lesson in trust, in trusting God, because that's really the lesson of the widow who gave the two mites, the two pieces of money that were very small. In fact, in some of the texts it says they were less than a penny. Now, probably not less than a penny in today's term, but they were of very little significance in value. But just a historical lesson. I'll never forget in the 80s, Brother Willard Collins did a lesson on change. And that everybody was worried about change. That the world was changing. And Brother Collins would have been 75 or so at the time. Because I was actually with him on the day he celebrated his 75th birthday. But he was talking about change. He said, "I don't know why everybody's so worried about change." He said, "I remember when a dollar bill was as big as a bedspread." So things have changed even then. Doesn't go as far as it used to. But do you know, in our time, in our culture, we had half cents. When, before, you know, inflation, and it's just a natural part of at least our economic system, but because pennies went further than they go now, we'd have half cents. The mint minted half cents. And so now there's a real discussion that do we even need pennies? Should we just round everything to the nickel because of the value? But we've not gotten rid of the pennies yet. We still have them. But the money she gave was of an insignificant amount, not even enough to get you by for a day. And so Jesus is in the temple, and he's watching these people give all these donations, and he watches this widow put in these two little coins, extremely insignificant in value. And he calls his disciples over, and he says, "This woman has given more than anybody else." And the disciples, not unlike we would be, were amazed at what Jesus said and were doubtful, because there were folks who had been able to give significant amounts of money. And Jesus says, "This woman has given the most." And so the question kind of comes then, what do you mean by that? Why has this woman given the most? And the reason that this woman had given the most is She gave everything she had. She gave everything she had. All that woman had, she gave. She wasn't arguing about, is it 10% off the gross or 10% off the net? Or she gave everything she had. Wasn't a lot, but it was absolutely all she had. So I want to look at her giving from this perspective. How did this lady come to the temple of God and give everything she had? And Jesus recognized it. But what motivated her to do that? What would bring you to give everything that you have? Because we're talking about now, and giving everything she had, the question comes, where's my next meal coming from? That's how serious this gift is that this lady has given. You know what? Now, I've given everything and I about told you all the text tells us, recorded in two of the Gospels. Where's my next meal come from? But she came to the temple and gave everything she has. And I'm here to say that I believe that this widow was able to give everything she had because she had a founded in Scripture faith in God to care for her. That she trusted in God to provide for her and not in the things that she had. That she was already obviously struggling. Okay? She's struggling from a financial standpoint. But she's trusting and has learned to trust every day in God to provide for her. And I use the term scripturally founded faith in God that allowed her to give all that she had. And the reason I said that is, she is not in a situation that is unprecedented among God's people. And it's not a situation to which God has not revealed to us, at least in some of those instances, how He's dealt with that. So, two occasions that I want us to talk about for just a moment come from the life of Elijah, the prophet. In a time of famine, when Elijah himself had been fed by the ravens, if you will remember, and then the brook dries up because there's been no rain in the land. The famine is severe, and so we come into a widow and her son, and here is the point where they have come in life. I've got a little food left. I'm going to fix that food. My son and I are going to eat that food, and then we are going to die. We are going to starve to death. And Elijah comes in, and do you remember what Elijah said? First, fix me something to eat. Now, if you were about to die, and your child was about to die, and some man comes in and says, fix me something to eat with what little you've got left, I'm getting images about how some of us might react to that. But Elijah says, because God has said that your meal and your oil will not run out until it rains. That's the promise. And so she fixes Elijah a cake. And then there's meal and oil for her to provide for her family. And the text will tell us that that meal and that oil never ran out as long as the famine lasted. That woman, that widow, was cared for. So here's a widow in Jerusalem who has very little, who gives everything to God, but as we talked about last week, as I continue to want to remind us, the Scriptures are there for us to learn about God and to be uplifted and to have faith. And so here's a woman who gives everything because God has a track record of caring for His people in times of need. A widow comes to Elijah begging for help because the creditors are coming and she has nothing. And Elijah tells her, go borrow all of the containers you can borrow. Go borrow as many as you can borrow. This is a little bit of test of faith and perseverance. But go get all that you can. And so she borrows all around, all the containers she can, and she begins to pour oil out of her jar into them, and all the containers are full. The oil never runs out until all the containers are full. And Elijah says, now, go sell the oil to pay your debts, and what's left will be for you to live on. God took care of her in her time of need. And so this widow, in the time of the first century, knowing the Scripture, knew that God cares for His people. That God was and God is and will always be able to care for His people. So she gives everything she has in faith, trusting that God would take care of her. That passage immediately follows both times in the text, in both of the Gospels, a discussion of the religious leaders of the time and a contrast with them. You remember in high school English, you had to write a paper comparing and contrasting. All right, this is a comparison and a contrasting of two different people. Because here's this widow whom most people would have probably not even seen, would not have even noticed as she comes and goes from the temple, right? She would have just been one of the crowd going through. But Jesus points her out because others had given lots more. But the contrasting is to the religious leaders of the time, who the Scripture says loved flowing robes and to set in places of importance and to be noticed, and who said lengthy prayers to be recognized and to be noticed. And Jesus rebukes them and says we shouldn't be like that. That religion, that following God should not be an end to prominence. But here's a woman who is not looking for prominence or wealth or recognition, but she has trusted God to give everything that she has away. Because God has proven to care for those who are in need. So how do we build on that in our own lives? Because it is difficult to trust in God. It's difficult to trust in God. But there's a real contrast here between just religious practice and faith. It's not unlike the lesson in the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Where we have an individual who's beaten up on the side of the road, and the people that you would expect, the leaders, the religious leaders of the time, pass by on the other side and leave him laying in the ditch. And the individual who you would not expect to care for him, a Samaritan, we don't like them. They're not as good as we are. But it is a Samaritan who not only stops, but puts him on his own donkey and carries him to the hotel and pays his bill and says, not only will I pay this, but when I'm back through, you take care of him and I'll pay whatever I owe you for caring for this man. And then the question, because the question posed at the beginning and the question at the end of that story is, so which one of these men is your brother? Who acted like a brother? Who cared? So the contrast is, how do we live in faith, not just in religious practice? Now, nothing wrong with religion. We're religious people by nature of being here. But God has really called us to be people of faith. How does it change our lives? How does it remove us from self-dependence and selfishness to an independence or an interdependence and a depending on God and trusting in Him and having our hearts and our lives changed by the Spirit of God. Not desiring things for ourselves, but being servants of God, because that's who this woman was. That's what she was called to, and that's what God has called us to. Because it's about what we trust in. Remember, we talked about idols last week, and I said, an idol might not necessarily be something we like, but it is something in which we trust. It can be philosophies. It can be graven images. It can be wealth. Whatever it is that we trust in, on which we build our foundation and our hope, becomes an idol, becomes a god to us. And that's why the scripture would say it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Because it's very difficult for us, and all of us would fall into this category. All of us, everyone in this room, would fall in this category of being wealthy. We may not count ourselves as wealthy, but we're, by historical and world standards, there's not a one of us in this room that's not wealthy. Not one. Because, why? We live in a place and a time where we have access to food in abundance and shelter and clothing, and basically all the things we need are provided. None of us are going to walk out on the street and sit on the sidewalk saying, I got nowhere to go, nowhere to be, nothing from which to move, nobody cares about me, absolutely no options in my future. None of us are going to go sit out there other than we might have some issues, but in reality and say, I'm going to sit here and die because I'm out of options. And that's where a lot of these people in other times and other places have lived. And even in our time, there are folks who do not have those opportunities. So it's easy for us then to become dependent on what we have, or at least complacent in what we have, and forget that we are dependent on God. It is God who provides. But here's a woman, and the lesson Jesus gives, she gave all she had. So the amount of her gift was what was important. The love of God that motivated her to give was important. And I believe it was extremely important that this woman lived a life of faith, that she was willing to give all because she trusted God. Because you remember the rich young man who came to Jesus and asked, what do I lack to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. And he said, I have followed them since my youth. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. Sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. And the young man, we are told, went away sorrowful because he had many things. It was hard for him to give them up. Probably not only because he enjoyed them, but my guess is, and the text doesn't reveal this to us, but my guess is because they brought some security to him. They brought some position and some security that it was hard to turn loose and say, I'm going to give this all to God. We read the stories, and they are interesting, and sometimes we pass over them at the beginning of most of the Gospels or accounts, or the calling of the apostles. The calling of the apostles. But do you realize the significance of those men who got up and left their nets and their boats to follow Jesus? I mean, they just got up and walked away from their family and their comfort, what they had grown up knowing and doing and how they were making a living, and got up and walked away and followed Jesus. It wasn't just a matter of curiosity. It was a decision that they had made to leave what they knew and what they had relied on and what they had been trained to do and to follow Jesus. They had developed already a faith in Jesus to follow Him. And that's really what the Scripture calls us to study the Word of God and then to trust in Him, to lean on Him. The wise man would say that we should trust in God and lean not on our own understanding. That trusting in God is more important than even what we think we know to be truths, and to be wise, to always follow God, because it is God who does and who will provide for us. So Jesus sees a widow who has very little, unnoticed by most of the crowd, not because they were cold and hard-hearted. It was just part of life, and they were going on about business. But he watched this woman, who had very little, give it all to God because she trusted that God would provide for her. In what or in whom do we trust? In what or in whom do we trust? As we look at the Scripture, I hope we build a faith and a trust in God that is practical and real. That we develop a trust in God that doesn't say, well, yes, I trust God to save me in the last day, which I hope that you do. But I hope we develop a faith in God that says, I trust in God to be with me and carry me and watch over me every day in this life and in the world to come. Because that's where this woman was. She didn't rationalize, I better keep what I got because I got to get through. But I know God will bless me sometime later. This woman gave everything because I believe she understood that God would bless her every day. Every day. That God was going to watch over and provide and protect her. Trust every day. In fact, the Scripture, Jesus would teach us to pray, what? Give us today our daily bread. He was teaching his apostles to be dependent on God every day for their blessings. It was the lesson Israel learned in the desert. It is a lesson for each of us to walk every day with God. Jesus would say, just be concerned about the affairs of the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough evil of its own for us to walk in each day and trust in God for our future. Trust in God to care for us, not only, again, in the world to come, but in the world in which we live. That God truly blesses us. That's why Jesus said, provide for us, Father, because God does provide. That's why Jesus told us not to worry. Not to worry, because he said what? God provides. He provides for the birds. He provides for the plants. He'll provide for us because we're more important. Sometimes it's very difficult to trust God to truly be the one who provides for us. Abraham goes to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. And the comment is made that the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And sure enough, there was a ram caught in the thorns that Abraham offered when God stopped him from offering Isaac. And the Lord provided again on the mountain when Jesus became sacrificed on the cross. The Lord provided the lamb of the Passover. And the lamb of sacrifice for our forgiveness, because the Lord truly does provide. The Lord not only provides for our spiritual future, but the Lord watches over us today, and he calls us each day to walk and to live in faith. If you need to come, would you do that while we stand and sing?